Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way, and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. These two disciples had been on the verge of giving up being disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ within his church. Now they were proclaiming that they had seen the risen Lord. They had experienced him through his word and his sacraments, namely the sacrament of the Eucharist. As we heard in last Sunday's readings from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42, the New Testament phrase, the breaking of bread, refers to the Eucharist. These two disciples from Emmaus proclaimed what they had experienced to the 11 apostles, led by Simon Peter and the other men and women of the church gathered in Jerusalem. But before they could proclaim what they had experienced, the exultant church in Jerusalem proclaimed, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." And this verse is the background from the traditional Christian greeting, more familiarly known in the Eastern churches, "Christ is risen, truly he is risen." My preaching series is entitled, "Proclaim, Declare the Works of the Lord." And the proclamation of the first Christians about the resurrection of Christ continues to have an impact beyond their imagining. And the Lord counts on us to proclaim and declare the works of the Lord. The greatest work of the Lord, according to St. Augustine, is the resurrection of the Lord. Another work of the Lord is the church, the disciples that he gathers into an assembly. How we're called to support one another, to believe in the faith that God has given to us. I asked you last week to consider those persons God has placed in your life who brought you to Jesus, who helps you to continue to believe in Jesus and to follow him in his church. And I did the same. The testimony of the first Christians was that the risen Lord has a glorified body that was not limited to time or space. They saw the wounds on his glorified body, the marks of his crucifixion, and they now understood, or they were trying to understand, that that which had tried to defeat Jesus on the cross was overwhelmingly defeated by Jesus through his death and resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ invites us to share in his victory by being his disciples within his church. They are inseparable commitments. And we worship to remember all that God has done and is doing, and render thanks. To engage in worship is a crucial way to declare the works of the Lord. As we heard in the second invocation of the penitential act, the Lord comes in word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness. The living, loving, and merciful Lord is alive. The beginning of today's gospel reading emphasizes the significance of the actions of these two disciples from Emmaus. On the very day that Jesus rose from the dead, the incipient church was gathered in Jerusalem, trying to absorb the news about the significance of the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus. However, these two disciples were abandoning their commitment to Christ and his church. And who were they? Some paintings depict two men. The gospel reading mentions Cleophas, but who is the unnamed disciple? Some people would like to say it is his wife, for the Gospel of John mentions that standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary of Magdala. Certainly there could be other Cleophases in the church at that time, but there must be a reason why the Holy Spirit guided the evangelists Luke and John to name certain people in the church. Whoever they are, these two disciples had come to Jerusalem for the annual Passover pilgrimage. And I imagine that on the Sunday before, they had joined the crowds and delighted in waving palm branches as Jesus entered Jerusalem. But by Friday, they were devastated by his crucifixion and death. And now, on the first Easter Sunday, they doubted the reports about his resurrection. Oh, they heard that he may be alive. The women had discovered an empty tomb. Others went and saw that the tomb was empty. The women reported that the angels had stated that Jesus is alive, but they didn't believe it. And they were on their way back to Emmaus. The church was suffering controversy and confusion about these reports about Jesus, but it was just too hard for these two disciples from Emmaus to deal with it. And so along with Thomas the Apostle, who was absent on the first Easter Sunday evening when Jesus appeared in the upper room, there were two other disciples who were absent, making the 7-mile journey back to Emmaus. But then Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. Jesus reached out to them. Just as Jesus reached out to Thomas within the context of the church gathered in that upper room in Jerusalem, Jesus reached out to the two disciples on their way to Emmaus, ready to give up on following him and being members of his church. Jesus drew near to them, and Jesus reached out to them with compassion, inviting them to voice their frustrations and doubts about everything. However, Jesus also challenged them to understand who he is, what he has done, and what he wants to do in our lives. If these two disciples on their way to Emmaus, ready to give up the faith, accepted the teachings of the Lord, they would experience victory over the power of sin and death, and they could face every circumstance with the certainty that the risen Lord is near, working things out for our good, even during circumstances that are painful. The gospel reading continues that Jesus had drawn near to them, but the disciples' eyes were prevented from recognizing Jesus. And the prevention did not come from Jesus. It was due to the disposition of these almost former disciples. Their perception was that Jesus was not alive. So they didn't expect to see Jesus on the way to Emmaus. And that's something for us to consider. If you don't expect Jesus, you're going to meet your expectations. From time to time, I hear people who say, I don't get anything out of Holy Mass, or people who have left the church and they said, I never heard about Jesus during worship. I never heard about the gospel. And I do wonder if they were at the same Mass that I was at, praying the same prayers that I prayed, hearing the same readings that I heard, celebrating the Eucharist that I celebrated. It's done all over the world. I did a quick count up to the gospel reading today, the name Jesus is mentioned 7 times, let alone the word Christ, which means the anointed one. And then the gospel being preached. Well, the gospel is Jesus Christ himself coming to share in our humanity so that we can have a share in divine life. And through his life on earth, he teaches us how to live. Through his passion and crucifixion, he takes on the sins of the world in order to take them away. We're called to die to sin and to live for God. The way we can do that is because by his death, he has destroyed the power of death over us, changing it from the termination of life to a transition to all that God has promised. For God has called us into a relationship. God is eternal, and he wants that relationship to be eternal. Jesus dies to destroy death, and then he rises from the dead to give us everlasting life. That's the gospel. And we talked about it during the penitential act. We heard St. Peter preach about it in the Acts of the Apostles. Again, it's said in the second reading. St. Peter writing again of what Jesus Christ has done for all of humanity who wishes to receive it. In the gospel, Jesus is telling these two disciples ready to abandon the faith who he is and how what he has done is fulfilled in the scriptures. And you know, I wish they would have delineated the scriptures. That would have been helpful. But the point is that the Holy Spirit did not delineate the scriptures because those scriptures would be preached through the church. And we heard that, for instance, in the Acts of the Apostles and in the letter of St. Peter today. Oh, Jesus is preached. The gospel is preached. And then when we profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, we reaffirm that we follow Jesus as Savior and Lord. There's no problem here. If we expect to meet Jesus in the ways that he presents himself, our expectations will be met. I expect to meet Jesus gathered in his church. I expect Jesus to talk to me in his gospel. I expect Jesus to come through the power of the Holy Spirit and his words to transform bread and wine into his most holy body and blood, soul and divinity. I expect Jesus to be there. And Jesus will always meet my expectations because my expectations are based on what Jesus has revealed. The disciples who were ready to give up their faith on their way to Emmaus, their expectations were based on what they thought Jesus should have been doing. They waved palm branches and said, Hosanna, Lord, grant us salvation. But they didn't appreciate how God came to grant salvation. And so they didn't believe in him. And yet, Jesus continues to reach out to them. Jesus continues to share with them the scriptures. Jesus continues to have patience with them. He's walking the steps to Emmaus so they could resume the walk of faith with him. And so, the disciples from Emmaus were able to resume their active discipleship when they accepted that God will do what God has promised in the time God has appointed. They accepted the risen Lord as the risen Lord chose to reveal himself and in the manner in which he chooses to reveal himself. And only then were they able to recognize him. After Jesus agreed to share a meal with them, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. Does that sound familiar? And with that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Jesus did not abandon these disciples. He just now was trying to teach them to accept him as he chooses to present himself. And not only did they appreciate him in the breaking of the bread in the Eucharist, they then said, were not our hearts burning when he spoke about the scriptures to us? They accepted Jesus as he presented himself through his word and his sacraments, and they were ready to declare the works of the Lord. They returned to Jerusalem. They were about to reject Jesus. They were about to reject the church. But Jesus had reached out to them and reconciled them back to himself. And then that also meant they were reconciled back to the church. They said, we must go back to Jerusalem and declare what Jesus has done. When we declare the works of the Lord for our benefit, we know it's a benefit for everyone around the world. Jesus is depending upon our declaration that he is worth worshiping as he communicates to us through his word and draws us to share life and love with him through his sacraments. And when we share life and love with the risen Christ, there is an inseparable bond as long as we choose to remain with him. Jesus is not going to hold us to him against our will. But as long as we make a decision to trust in every circumstance of life, even when things get painful, even if we have to deal with doubts, we continue to give ourselves over to the Lord and what the Lord reveals. And we say, Jesus, you are worth worshiping. You have given yourself wholeheartedly for my salvation. You deserve my wholehearted worship. And in doing so, we declare to others the work of the Lord. Thanks be to God.